there. Welcome to this YouTube channel. And today, we're generally in the love season, in the Valentine. Valentine is around the corner. So we're going to be talking about love today. But before I go on, hey, don't forget, if you have not subscribed, if you have not liked, shared any of our videos, please do so right now. Subscribe to the channel. And that way you can always get notifications when we post good content. All right. Like I said, we're in Valentine period, we're in the love season. And today, we're going to be sharing something very important. Some of it is going to be part of what will be, some of it is part of what is in our books, our new books, titled Heal Before You Deal, and also Seven Love Myths. All right. This will be a blessing to you. So, but I have a special guest today. I don't know if I should introduce the topic first or the guest first. let me introduce the guest first. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I have a very, 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 very special guest in the house today. His name is Dr. Tolu Binotu. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
Binotu. All right, so please help me welcome Dr. Tolu Binotu. He's someone, I know most of you already know him. He's based in the UK. He's a medical doctor. He's also a psychiatrist in training. And he's also a social media influencer. That's why some of you will know him. Most of you will know him. All the way from the UK. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Dr. Tolu.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm telling you, your face is just the same as it is on social media.
No, I don't do a lot of editing, so, yeah, so it's as you see me.
If you have seen his page on social media, it's very Instagram. What's his page name? Dr. Tolu Binotu.
Yeah, it's at Tolu Binotu.
Yes,
yeah.
At Tolu Binotu. So, amazing, amazing tips, helpful stuff. He's quite an influencer, quite a lot of followers and all that. So, and the page is actually helpful, all right? It's actually very helpful. So I encourage you, if you have not followed him yet, please rush and go and follow, and on other platforms that he's on. But today, he's here live, and I wish you people could actually ask him questions, but I'll try and ask as many questions as I can. So welcome, Doc.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good to see you. All right. So, because we're in this love season, so we're going to be discussing today how love changes the brain.
Okay.
All right? How love changes the brain. And there's no better person, because he's a medical doctor, he's also a psychiatrist in training, and he has also been in love at some point, or he's in love.
I have, a couple of times.
So he's very, very qualified to talk to us about how love changes the brain. And you see, most people don't know that a lot of things they call love, sometimes it's just their biology, the chemistry, the chemicals in their brains that is making them feel this is love.
Yeah.
It's just a strong, passionate feeling, and they don't know where it's coming from, so they attribute it to love. So I believe I'm going to be able to break that down today. And when you understand it, it's amazing. I don't want to even jump ahead, but, you know, I've thought about it many times. Sometimes people just think, oh, this strong feeling I'm having, it must just be love.
Yeah. And many times we confuse, I mean, there are a lot of things like infatuation, which closely resembles love. And, I mean, you have what is the basis of lust, which can resemble love as well. So I think it's really important for people to be able to tell the difference. And that can help to influence, help them make good decisions.
Exactly, exactly. I usually say fake love and real love are identical twins at the beginning. They have the same kind of symptoms. Yeah. So if you're not careful, you will think, hey, this must be love. And it's just that one of the things that usually differentiates fake love and real love is time.
Yeah.
It just has a way. You just know after a while that I have nothing. But when it's real love, usually the longer it is, the stronger it actually usually becomes. All right, so let's jump right into it. Doctor, how does love change the brain?
Okay. First of all, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here and to be sitting beside you. So that's a very important question. And I'm going to, before I zoom in on the answer, I'm going to talk a bit about the brain and the study that was carried out on the brain. Now, this study involved doing more than 2,000 brain scans of young people. But first, before I go into that, let's talk a bit about the brain. Now, the way the human brain is, it's the most fascinating part of the human body, right? And the reason why it is because when you look at the brain, you start to see that there are some parts of the brain that control things that we would say are automatic, and there are some parts of the brain that we are in control of. Like now, for instance, the decision to come here, the decision for the cameraman to set everything up, it involved a bit of planning, it involved a bit of management. There's a part of the brain that handles that. But you see, there's a part of the brain that handles things that we are not even aware that we are breathing. Like now, if I ask the viewers how many times they've breathed in and out, no one really knows.
No one knows.
But there's a part of the brain that does this. So that part of the brain, the part of the brain that we call it, it handles things like feeding, flight. That means when we are in danger, the decision to run away. Many people are running away before they know what they are running away from.
And where they are running to.
Exactly, where they are running to. Like, I remember I lived in a house once and thieves attacked and an elderly woman jumped from her balcony, like one or two floors up, jumped down into the gutter and ran.
Man.
It was after the thieves had gone that she realized her legs were swollen. She had suffered fractures.
Yeah.
So there's a part of the brain that handles flight or even fighting. Yeah. Right? That's why people, when they are angry, they say something like they see red and they don't know when they've hit
somebody.
Especially in, unfortunately, maybe cases of domestic violence.
Wow.
And then there are parts of there's a part of the brain that handles reproduction. So now this part of the brain, some people call it the reptilian brain or the primitive brain. It handles all these things that we don't necessarily actively control. We don't necessarily actively control, like the fight or flight system. Now, in that part of the brain, that's where a lot of what we call love happens.
Wow.
And that's why you may find people falling in love with someone that 6 months ago they said, I can never, this is not my type. I like fair-skinned people, and this is always dark. And they just find that they just fall for that person.
Yeah.
Or they fall for someone that they know is bad for them.
Mm.
They know the part of the brain that they control, cognitive functioning, they know that this person is bad, but they cannot help it, speak.
Yes.
So that's a part of the brain that we'll be talking about now. Now, the reason why love is such a powerful thing, I would now talk about the experiment that was done. So there's a woman, a biological anthropologist called Helen Fisher. So what she did was she wanted to study love. And what love was all about. Is love something uncontrollable? Is love, what is this thing we call love? Love, infatuation, lust, what is it? And then she did, I think, more than 2,500 brain scans on young people. And these young people were carefully selected because she chose young people who were in love, especially maybe romantic love, fresh romantic love. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind in university where you escort the woman to the hostel, she will escort you back to the hostel, you will not escort her back to the hostel. People don't do it. That kind of love, very sweet to feel. So she did scans on them and she would take them and show them pictures of the person they love. And what she noticed was when they look at the pictures of the people that they loved, there was a part of the brain that lit up. So it's like you're looking at a scan and then the part of the brain turns red.
Wow.
It lights up. It's like traffic lights. Like,
wow.
And then it was consistent for many people who were in love. That was the first thing. Then this experiment was carried out further to test people who had been in love for a while. And maybe who felt like maybe the love wasn't as strong as before. And it was done for them. It was also done for those who had been in love for maybe 10, 20 years and were still in love. Mm-hmm. One thing she noticed was those who were still as in love 20 years after, that part of the brain still lit up.
Mm-hmm.
But those who looked at pictures of maybe people they did not love, not so much, or maybe they did not.
Yeah.
And then she went to study what part of the brain is lighting up when people are in love.
Yeah.
And what she realized is it's a part of the brain there were two areas. It's an area of the brain, but different parts in that place. Much of it was in that part of the brain that I mentioned earlier that controls feeding, flight, fight, and reproduction. A large part of it. And it's a part of the brain called the reward circuitry. So I'll just try to keep it simple so that So basically what she found out was the part of the brain that lit up when people were in love were part of the brain that controlled pleasure, that controlled maybe people expecting a reward.
Yes.
In fact, sir, part of the brain is part of the brain that is linked to addiction to drugs like cocaine.
Yeah.
So basically, love affects you in a similar way that drug addiction does.
Definitely.
And so that was a very interesting finding, right? And then she also saw that this part of the brain, that when people looked at the pictures of those they were in love with, there was a release of a chemical called dopamine. Now, dopamine is the feel-good hormone. It's the one that makes when people, men, grown men, muscular men, when they are in love, they'll pick up the phone, they'll raise their leg on the wall, and they'll be talking to the love of their life for 5-6 hours. This chemical is the feel-good chemical. It's the chemical that is also linked to, like I said, something like cocaine addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, love, and then the final thing is, all this happens in order to ensure, like, procreation, in order to ensure the continuation of
life.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I think, that is one way we can see how love affects the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But the not so pleasant part as well is, when people are in love, there's another part of the brain linked to the amygdala, but you don't need to remember the name. But this part of the brain is what helps us to make decisions. It's what helps us to carefully assess someone and tell, okay, is this person lying? Is this person saying the truth? In fact, it's what helps us to recognize red flags.
Yeah.
But when someone is in love, that part of the brain is, for all intents and purposes, deactivated.
That's it. Yeah.
So you find people, when they are in love, their neighbors, moms, dad, maybe telling them, this person, there's something off, there's something off. Even their pastors may tell them, but they don't see
it. Unable to.
So we can say that science has kind of proven that love can actually make you blind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, that's how love can affect the brain.
Wow. Wow. Okay. this is interesting. Okay, so are you trying to say that, so how is that part affected? So if a guy is just going and sees a girl, what happens? As in, how does this happen? Are there structured actions that make it happen, or I can just be going on the road and see somebody and it's activated?
Okay, so the thing is, that's actually a good question, because what you're essentially asking is, does love at first sight exist? Do you just see someone and you're in love with that person?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a very brilliant question. Now, the thing is, we've noticed that when we, as human beings, when we see someone, as far as I know, there's no science to determine who exactly we fall in love with. That part is still up in the air as far as science is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And we've noticed that generally people tend to fall in love with those who are maybe at their general level of intelligence, or who are maybe at their general socioeconomic level, especially people who are in your vicinity, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you find those in university, it will be a bit difficult for someone maybe in college falling in love with maybe someone maybe outside of their college or another college.
Yeah.
There seems to be a link of some similarity. But even then, if you put a woman, a young woman, in a room with people who are her type, there's no way for us yet to say this is who she will fall for. But one thing we've noticed is, when there's the initial attraction and there's that surge of hormones, the amount of time they eventually spend together moving forward plays a huge role. Let me give you an example, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about chemicals being released in the brain, linked with love, I'll just mention the names, but more importantly, I'll mention what those chemicals do. We have the chemicals like dopamine, oxytocin, vasopressin, very powerful things, very powerful chemicals. Dopamine is, like I said, the feel-good hormone. It's what makes love feel
all-consuming,
like you cannot think properly. Oxytocin is particularly important even when you look at mother-child bonding.
Mm-hmm.
So when the child is suckling and the mother is breastfeeding, oxytocin is one of those things that causes the link. Oxytocin as well can even be released when someone hugs a loved one.
Yes.
And when it's released, it strengthens the bond, not just between mother and child, but between friends or even between lovers.
Yes.
So when all these things are released, and yes, there's one final one. There's another hormone called cortisol. Cortisol is like a stress hormone. So when someone is in love, there's a particular amount of stress attached to it. The person is longing for their loved one. If they call and the loved one does not pick at the time when they usually pick, or they call three times, they start calling their girlfriend's father or mother, you know, when it's still fresh in the body.
Yeah.
So yeah, cortisol is the, and cortisol has also been linked to a drop in another hormone. Now, when this hormone drops, what that happens is the person tends to have recurrent thoughts about their loved one. So that's all they can think about. Wow. In fact, as we say in Nigeria, that person has gotten your mumu button.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing where you go, you understand? So that's all you'll be thinking about. So when all these things happen, and that's why it's important, maybe if you don't want to fall in love with someone, don't spend as much time. If you feel like maybe this person may be wrong for you, or this person, or this is not the time where you want this, or more importantly, if maybe you are in a committed monogamous relationship like marriage, and you find someone attractive, don't fall into the trap of spending a lot of time. Because as you spend time, you are strengthening, the way the brain works, when we are learning something new, even if it's a new person, it's like cocaine. You take it once. If you can stop the person after taking it once, there is a good chance of complete withdrawal. But if the person takes it again and again and again, and that the feel-good hormones are being released, it becomes addictive. So you become, by spending time, you become addicted to that person. And if after 6 months you now want to end it there, it's much more difficult.
Wow. There's still so much we're going to dissect, but I just want to also even throw in that, because this spending time is exactly what people that are married need to do.
Exactly.
For their love to get stronger.
Exactly.
You know, so beyond now us learning how to deal with it when it's negative, we also need to put in the work
when it's positive, to strengthen what already exists.
So I have a book also coming out titled 10 Habits of the Happiest Couples, of happy couples, you know, and time. They're all T's, letter T's, and time is a major one.
Yeah.
You can literally begin to love again or fall in love with somebody that you spend time with. So
absolutely.
So that hit me as you said, I was like, that's exactly what people need to learn, that investing time, it's one of the conscious ways to actually build love. Because many people think, you know, because you've talked about the feeling part of love.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not necessarily a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because these things you're saying now can happen, like you mentioned. Someone that is married can have it.
Yeah.
For someone who's not married. So there's a difference. Again, that's why I mentioned some of the other books on myths of love. There's a difference between the feeling aspect of love and what the commitment aspect of love is.
Absolutely.
You know, and most people want to ride only on this feeling part of love. So they find out that they're having these chemical reactions for different people.
Yeah.
So they think, oh, I love 10 people.
Yeah. And it's not so. In fact, that's why it's important to be able to tell what love actually is.
Yes. Beautiful.
It's in as much as we can talk about the what happens in the brain, it's not just about what happens in the brain. Right. Love is work.
Mm-hmm.
Love is commitment. Love is spending time. Mm-hmm. Love is making sure you don't spend time with the wrong people. In fact, causing a separation, which I will still talk about when we talk about heartbreak and how to get over someone. Love is a deliberate commitment, and time is an absolute. In fact, so the people, and I mentioned the experiment, those who had been in love for many years, their brains lit up just like someone who just fell in love. And that's partly, or to a great extent, because of the amount of work they put in to keep the fire burning. So it's not just that you feel something. It's not necessarily love.
Yes.
It's a chemical reaction.
Yes.
It's a chemical reaction. It's a chemical reaction we see even when you are infatuated with someone.
Exactly.
But love goes beyond that. Love is about the commitment, even when it doesn't feel like, to stoke the flames and yes. get back the flames. And yeah, that commitment yeah. is what keeps it going.
So I think that's where people's struggles, you know, lie, because they think, if I'm not feeling these chemical reactions, I'm not in love. And they trust this reaction so much, to the point that even when somebody is married and they're feeling these reactions for somebody else, they say, oh, I'm no more in love with my spouse. I'm not in love with this person. And they think or feel a need to obey these feelings or go in line with these feelings. So I think that moves us now to the next thing we need to focus on. So how is there hope? If someone is getting these reactions for somebody that's not good for them or somebody they're never married to, so what am I going to do? Yeah.
That's a brilliant question. Mm-hmm. And that's is something that I think we actually need to talk about. So now, many of the experiments, like I said, were carried out with college students. Now, if we know anything about college students, we know that the people that were lighting up their brains in a couple of years' time,
yes. Yes,
that's not it anymore. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the most common questions that the college students were asking, I think, was about how to move on from something. So that shows that heartbreak has already occurred.
Of course, yes.
So that also shows that the fact that you're having this chemical reaction, the fact that maybe you're having dopamine and oxytocin and everything just flaring up, doesn't necessarily mean that it is pure love.
It is love in the essence of it.
What it means, what it could mean, to be honest, is that you found someone that you feel a strong attraction for. And that's going to happen many times in your life.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, if you are going to depend on that and then ruin something or maybe put aside something else for that, how long do you think that's going to last?
Yes.
There's no guarantee for how long it will last. What we can talk about when we do those scans is the there and now, what we are seeing.
Yes.
But what it means, whether that is the right person for you, all those things, no, the science doesn't. Lighting up doesn't mean that. It simply means that your primitive, and this is important because, like I said, even this part is all linked to the primitive part of the brain.
Mm.
So it is the part of the brain that does not do a lot of thinking.
Mm.
And that's why we are a higher species.
Yes.
When you feel, you don't necessarily need to act on it.
Act on that feeling. Powerful.
It is animals who they see and they do.
And
that's important for them to reproduce and not go into extinction. But as human beings, there's a reason why, in fact, so if you see the brain, it's very interesting. The largest part of the brain is the part that we control.
Wow.
Is the part that helps us to think. I mean, when you're talking about parts of the brain, like the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex, which helps with planning, and like this entire planning was due to everyone here using that part of the brain. But when you now look at the primitive aspect, the reptilian, if it's called the reptilian brain, because it is the kind of brain that you have in reptiles where they don't make conscious decisions. They are controlled by their basal needs.
Mm.
But we have something bigger and encompassing.
Mm.
And there's a reason why that is. Because, I mean, well, personally, I believe in creation, not in evolution.
Yes.
So I believe that it's created that way so that we can override it consciously.
To override our basic feelings, and
make more intelligent decisions than just following our... Because if we follow our basal needs, we will eat whenever we want.
Yes.
We will sleep with whoever we feel an attraction for. And we'll just live lives in a way that...
Sadly, Doc, this is how some communities and cultures... are living.
Yeah.
So they are promoting indecent and illicit sexual behavior. They say, hey, everybody's free to sleep with anybody they want. So you find that in those communities, children born outside wedlock are a lot, and the statistics are not good.
Yeah.
Because God wants us to make, like you're saying, conscious decisions to who we partner with or join with, and let it be, you know, committed. That way, you know, we have a family.
Yes.
And children grow up, you know, in a secure and well-organized structure. As opposed to, okay, any girl I see, I sleep with, any man I see, I sleep with, and we're having children, you know. So sometimes when I watch some of these people in some countries, you see one woman has 3 or 4 kids, and 4 different men. And these men are nowhere to be found. None of them are committed to these kids. and the statistics are not good, either those kids either end up with the same thing or end up in prison, end up with suicide. So this thing you're saying is so crucial. The ability for us to separate the instinctual, the instinct part of this
exactly.
thing and the one where we actually
exactly.
control. So like you said, so what should we do? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
What do you think we can do for this person that seems under bondage, in quotes, seems I can't do anything, or have feelings for this. I know this guy is destructive. I know this lady is harmful to my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm being, that part of that brain.
The reptilian brain.
Yeah, the reptilian brain is being stirred up, is in control. Is there any practical things you know that we can do, you know, to help gain back control?
Good. And that's, I think this is even one of the most important parts of this, because, and by the way, there was even something I did not mention, but I just remembered. There's actually a chemical reaction that also goes on in the brain during this part of falling in love or having feelings that actually encourages stable monogamous relationships.
Wow. Okay.
So that's why personally, I believe that this was creation, not evolution, because it seems to be designed in a way to let man know that, okay, you are this way, you have this primitive aspect, which is for your survival, but you're in control. It's not that way for any other animal. So now bringing to people who may have maybe over time spent time with the wrong kinds of people or developed feeling for people that cognitively they know that this is probably not the best person for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to know how to improve your chances of breaking free, in a sense.
Yes.
Because like I said, love and cocaine addiction is the same reward
secretary.
So it's like breaking
drug
free.
Love,
and then another thing we've even found out about love is, okay, let me just focus on this. So one of the important things, like if someone is in a romantic relationship, cutting off communication is very important. And personally, because I talk, my line of work, I end up talking to a lot of people. That is one of the things that many people don't do. You maintain some line of communication. You may go off on phone calls and everything, but the person can still gain access to you through Instagram.
Yeah.
The reason why you cannot afford to do that is because love has addictive properties. And here's what I mean. One of the cardinal features of an addiction, we have tolerance, withdrawal, and relapse. Relapse means, okay, withdrawal means when you stay away from that addictive thing, you start to feel it in your body. You want it. That's why people who are addicted to drugs, they find themselves going into rehab centers. So when they need that drug, they have people who keep them away. If not, you just find, you know, someone wants to stop drinking, but stops for a while and then goes back. So another thing about addictive drugs is relapse. That means you may even think you are okay. Then you now think, okay, I'm good enough to establish communication with this person again. And before you know it,
you're
back. Like what took you 2 months to achieve you are back in 2 days. And you're wondering, how did I get here? The devil made me do it. But it's not the devil, it's your reptilian brain. Right? I mean, so anyway, so what they need to do is, the same way it took time to get addicted, it's the same way to take time to break up. But in order to make sure that that happens, you need to cause that separation, cut off communication with that person, cut off communication with people that know that person, people that you know, because there will come a time where you don't feel strong, when you are going through the withdrawal, and everything in your body will want that person. If you have before then cut off communication, then chances are you will not send that risky text at 2 a.m. Or you will not receive that risky text that what you're doing. Can you meet me here? I want to talk. I miss you. And then once they say I miss you, your cognitive reptilian brain just goes wings and takes control. And then, so cutting off communication. Then another thing that is important is spending time with loved ones. This is why it's important. Remember that we said love causes release of dopamine. So now that you are not getting that dopamine from the person you're in love with, you are looking for an alternate source. And one of the truest forms of love, at least we can see in the physical, is that of family.
Yeah.
So spending time with family causes your brain to release dopamine, but for the right reasons and for the right people. Yes. Because you can never get too close to your parents. You can never get too close to your siblings or your best friends. So spending time with those that you know genuinely love and care for you is not just going to keep you away from the person you want to stay away from. It's also going to help to strengthen relationships that can help to weaken or take your mind off what you're trying to run from. So those are two very important things. Mm. Other important things the person should do is, when you feel sad and you feel like crying, cry.
Yes.
Cry. Don't suppress it. And I think that's something that we need to tell ourselves, maybe people in Africa or Nigerians, where you are expected, maybe as a man, for men especially, to bottle up your feelings and, you know, be a man. Don't, how can you be crying because of woman? What do you mean? Yeah. You're not crying for your mother, you're crying for girl. Yeah. It's normal. You did not develop that kind of love for your mother. This was more like an addiction. So if you feel like crying as a woman, as a man, cry.
Yeah.
Give yourself time to heal. People heal differently.
Mm-hmm.
And because you've spent time with the wrong person, you formed neural relationships. That means your brain has formed pathways just for that. So it's going to take time for you to not miss it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go through the withdrawal process. And so it's important for you to, if you feel sad, cry. If you want to write a journal, write in your journal. Hang out with your family. Cut off communications with this person. And most importantly, give yourself time.
Yeah.
Carry out useful activities. If maybe you were very active in your church, go to church. Hang out with people that you know have genuine love for you.
Yeah.
A support system. And one of the strongest support systems anyone can ask for is their religious support system.
Yeah.
So if a Christian church, if you're not, just your support system, hang out with them. Because they can provide without maybe expecting back or causing you to lose something of yourself. So all those things are very important steps, but one of the most important ones is also, when carrying out all these things, give yourself time. It took time to develop that bond. It will take time to come out of it.
Okay. Before we go, because we're going to end this session now, I'm going to do another session on breakups and how it affects the brain.
Yeah.
But before we close and go to that, I also want to add that, and this is why knowledge is also important.
Yes.
When the more knowledge you have, you know, the more you can recognize these patterns and you can take charge of them.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's why knowledge is good. Because somebody that didn't know all these things would just think, oh, I'm in love and I'm helpless. You need to understand that it's just chemical reactions going on and they can fade suddenly.
Yeah.
One time. Maybe you even need to tell us why that happens. Why does it, you know, this dopamine and all these things flowing at a certain time that makes somebody look crazy? Then 1 year down the line, you know, generally say it takes anywhere between 6 months and 2 years, you know, it disappears. You know, what is the reason for that?
Okay. Now, it's important because it's the same way when we look at the processes that are controlled by that part of the brain. If we look at flight, for instance, when we see danger and we run, eventually you would, by God's grace, escape from the danger and that part goes down and you're fine. And if you ran and you stepped on a nail, that's when you notice there's blood or you twisted your ankle. But in that point in time, you were so consumed by adrenaline that you did not feel anything. That's why you find people, a fence as high as this,
they can jump
it. Because their bodies have gone into overdrive to get them away from danger.
Yes.
It's the same way for those who have sex. If someone feels the urge, at that point in time, it looks as if you don't have the sex. That's something wrong.
Yes.
But once you have the sex, there's the release, everything comes down.
I'm telling you.
You may even be looking at the person, especially maybe those who have sex randomly, and then you're like, and then you start feeling regret.
Yeah.
That is the reptilian brain coming down, and then your thinking faculty now coming down.
I'm not ready to do that.
And so people genuinely do not believe how they did it. So it's the same thing with things like infatuation. At that point in time, we look at the biblical story of Absalom and Tamar, his half-sister. It looked like he wanted
Amnon,
that. So, yes, exactly. And then, But once it was done, I think Bible said he hated her.
I was actually going to mention the story, so it's good you mentioned it.
Yeah, he hated her and he wanted her out of his sight. But you notice what happened. The fact that it had left his body did not mean the situation was over. In fact, that started a series of events
of consequences, I'm telling
that
you.
Affected that family.
Yes.
And that's why we need to continually, we are the higher species, so we need to continually remember that, in as much as there's the reptilian aspect, which is there for a reason, but there's a bigger aspect, literally bigger than that part, which we are in control of. And we should always, and that's where discipline comes in. That's where practice comes. Discipline is basically practice. Yeah. Practicing for the moment where you may feel like you are being overridden by that primitive part of your brain. You've practiced just long enough to maintain that discipline that you see, okay, you tend to start recognizing things that, okay, this particular person I'm finding attractive, but it should not be.
Yes.
You are not thinking I'm finding attractive and I'm going to sleep with her.
Yes.
No, you are thinking I'm finding, you admit to yourself.
Yes.
I'm finding her attractive, I'm finding him attractive. But what am I going to willfully do about it?
Yes.
So that's why, you know, with infatuation, everything seems rosy, but with the passage of time, you may even come to start disliking the person. Their presence starts to irritate you, and you start feeling it for another. You start feeling the infatuation for another person. That's why all these chemical reactions are not dependable.
Yes.
And knowledge, like you said, sir, knowledge of these things is very key to help us to make the right decisions.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's part of what I shared in my book. For having a message titled "You Choose Who You Love," because people have that notion that, oh, I don't choose who I fall in love with. What that means is that I can be married and fall in love with a million people. You know, I can fall in love with somebody I should not fall in love with. You know, and God never designed love that way.
Yes,
I believe, like you said, there's a part of our brains that helps us to help humanity to continue. Helps a man to be attracted to a woman. Help a woman to be attracted to a man. But everything should have control. It's like our natural instincts of hunger.
Yeah.
Just because I'm hungry doesn't mean I can eat anywhere or I can eat anything. You know, it's a legitimate need, but I must also try and meet it, you know, in a legitimate and a proper way. All right, so we need to get to that stage where we can appreciate that, okay, I have this feeling, but there's a way to do it. And when it's in the right environment, it's good to be crazy about my wife.
Yeah.
It's good to be crazy about your husband.
You were designed to be crazy about your wife. You were designed to be crazy about your husband.
Yeah,
but it was designed that the more time you spend with them, the better everything gets. Even the sex with them should get better with time.
Exactly.
Because you are investing in it. You are investing in that part of your brain. Just see that part that lights up as a flame.
Yes.
It's a literal part that lights up.
Yes.
It's called the reward circuitry. So it is designed to make you continually feel good about that person. And you can do that by spending time. So that's why, personally, I believe in creation.
Because it's too deliberate to be by chance.
It's not just that something just came. I've seen things come together. It doesn't form a perfect design.
Definitely.
It doesn't. So it's great.
Definitely. All right. Thank you, Doug. This was amazing. I'm sure you guys enjoyed this. Even I enjoyed this. It was amazing, amazing. Thank you, Doug, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, hey, guys, there'll be another video on breakups, how breakups affect the brain. And don't forget, follow Doctor on all social media handles that you can find him. I know he's on Instagram particularly. Then, of course, make sure you subscribe, like this video, share with someone. This Valentine period, people are going to need to hear this, all right? So please, and if you need counseling services, we have a counseling practice. So you see details on the screen. Reach out to us. A counselor will be willing to talk with you and counsel you. All right. Don't forget, our books are coming out this season, Heal Before You Deal. And there's also The 7 Myths of Love. So you want to hear this. Some of these things are going to be shared there. And we're moving now to talking about breakup. So you want to watch that video also. All right. So God bless you. See you later.